Welcome to the 210 feet podcast, first ever episode of this soccer podcast, where we will be talking about some fun activities, news and notes from the past week in the MLS Major League Soccer, the top tier of soccer in the United States, and the United States men's national team. I am Robbie Knight, joined by my co-host, Colin Manning. And today we have some fun talking points, some fun things to talk about from the past week or so in the MLS, including but not limited to the brand new $3 billion or so dollar deal that the MLS struck with Apple on their broadcasting rights. We also have some talking points about what is the MLS lacking to really become a major league worldwide. And of course, we'll throw in some questions about the USMNT's World Cup hopes. How are you doing, Colin?
I'm doing pretty good, Robbie. How about yourself?
So I think, I guess, before we get started, I'm doing great. Let's just, before, because I feel like this will kind of affect what we talk about in the future. I think we should just
cover for sure.
our backgrounds, because I feel like there will be times when this won't necessarily be fully objective, and there will be some personal bias sprawling into it. So I guess you can start with your teams first.
All right. Yeah. So I've been a diehard Real Salt Lake fan for most of my life. I played soccer all growing up just until recently. I still love soccer, still play for fun, watch a bunch of MLS, mainly try to watch every single Real Salt Lake game that I can. I've had some great memories, been to a couple different games and things like that. And I, consider myself a diehard Real Salt Lake fan. I have the flags hanging up on my wall back here, as you can see. So before I became an MLS fan, I was like, I played soccer, obviously, and then I was introduced to it and haven't looked back since. So yeah, that's kind of my background. Obviously, huge fan of the USMNT. And yeah, how about yourself?
I played soccer for about 2 years until I was about seven. That is the extent of my soccer
playing
activity background. And I have been, I guess, the first ever soccer team I remember like knowing about with Manchester United over in England. Because my uncle one time on a vacation was like, had this whole setup to watch Manchester United games. Anyway, long story short, somehow found out about the MLS when I was like 10, and I have never looked back. Huge Sounder fan. I'm actually headed to Seattle like in 2 weeks to watch us play Montreal.
That'll be a good game.
Gonna be a party. I think maybe one of the best nights of my life was when we beat when we won against Pumas in the CCL, CONCACAF Champions League champions. And so I think soccer is just something I've always enjoyed watching.
Yeah. One quick thing to add. I kind of just have to do this. One of my favorite memories of Real Salt Lake is when we kind of knocked you guys out of the playoffs after taking zero shots on goal. So I'm sure that was sting. And I'm sure that was going to be something that's going to come up multiple times throughout this podcast. And maybe, just listeners be aware of that, and that we're kind of rival teams. But, hey, we're still MLS fans together and we're still here to talk about it. I actually had the first question that we can kind of start discussing. So the first for me is obviously with MLS making this huge new deal with Apple TV. My question to you is it going to be beneficial for the MLS, and how's it going to change or affect like local broadcasts in the future? Because I know teams such as Real Salt Lake, Chicago, New York, they all have good broadcasts teams for their local stations on YES and even Portland. And I know as a Real Salt Lake fan, it's going to be kind of weird listening to different broadcast crews. And we have Brian Dunseth, who's very widely known throughout the MLS world. And what are your thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, Major League Soccer was able to strike a deal for it, like, I think a minimum of $250 million per year with Apple to stream all of their games, no blackouts, no anything, stream all of their games on Apple TV Plus. Worldwide, yeah, that's the other thing. That deal, that $250 million a deal is exponentially larger than the current $90 million they currently are receiving annually. So in their current existing domestic rights deals, MLS receives approximately 65 on an annual basis from ESPN Fox for the English language rights, and then Univision for the Spanish rights.
Yes.
And this is just English rights worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
So that, first of all, is a massive difference.
Yeah, a lot more money.
That is a lot more money. And I've seen different things that under, you know, the new CBA with MLS players and the MLS Players Association, it's going to be a lot more money headed to the players' pockets, which is, you know, not necessarily always a bad thing.
And be used to bring in bigger players even, hopefully.
Possibly. So, yeah, I mean, it's a big deal. There's a lot, money-wise, right?
Yeah,
I think
there's
a lot of things in the deal itself that we're just going to have to wait to see how it plays out. 10 years is a long time. That's a big commitment.
Yeah.
For Apple to make. And it does look like they are willing to invest in
MLS sort
of things. And it's not just a deal for MLS game rights. It also, in some of the things that we've seen, it's also deals for stuff like MLS Next Pro, which many people could probably see could certainly use some revamping of their broadcasts. Because if you've watched any MLS Next Pro match, you can say that most high schools can do a better job. Yeah. They are rough.
Yeah.
And so it's both MLS, I think MLS Next Pro has some part to do with it, and it's also going to be the deal in the U.S. for the new Leagues Cup. With Liga MX in Mexico. So there's a lot involved in it. I think the MLS has done a tremendous job at helping to grow the sport in the United States. They came into existence at a time where the sport was very dim in the U.S. And then the 94 World Cup came along and really grew interest exponentially. The league came into existence in 96, 2 years after, because it was, you know, a detail in the bid that the U.S. had to create the MLS in order to host the World Cup. And so it's done a fantastic job of establishing a fan base, a soccer fan base in the U.S. And I think we've seen that. I think you've seen places like Seattle and Atlanta fill NFL stadiums
especially
many times.
And Atlanta came into the league very late compared to most other teams, and they still are having quite a bit more attendance than a lot of other teams throughout the league.
A year after
they
came into the league, they filled the brand new Mercedes-Benz Stadium for the MLS Cup and proceeded to win it. And so I think the MLS has done a terrific job at growing the game in the country, in the U.S. And I think part of that, they also have to now find, we're headed into a different era of U.S. soccer, of football in the States. I think with the World Cup being hosted in 2026, the entire game is shifting in the way it's looked at. And I think the MLS can be a big part of that, but they have to have they have to be able to have a media partner that can support them in their mission of trying to be one of the biggest leagues in the world and grow soccer on U.S. soil. And I don't think that ESPN and Fox were really doing that over the past couple of years.
Yeah. For like, you can go. Sorry.
Just one more thing. I think Apple is, that's a new thing. That's something, I mean, they're going out on a limb, but the fact that there are worldwide rights included in that.
Yes. I think that's very big to expand like you're saying, worldwide. I think ESPN broadcasts, obviously, they do a great job. They have top-tier commentators, and same as Fox, but something that you notice kind of when watching an MLS game is they open – there's usually another broadcast 5 minutes before the game starts or something like that. And then it comes to the game, they kind of give you a quick overview of it. And then, like, as soon as the game ends, it switches to a different broadcast. Something very interesting about this deal is on the weekends, they're going to try to schedule most Major League Soccer games Saturday nights and Wednesday nights. And before each of these games, they're going to – since there's so many games in the MLS season, and that will lead to another question later, but – that since there's so many games throughout the MLS season, they're going to try to have like an NFL red zone type deal that will be in the MLS app that's located on Apple TV. So this will like give you a rundown of all the games happening. And for like, it may not be as important for a casual fan, but like for someone who has Apple TV already may see the MLS app and be like, oh, what's this? And then use that, you know, to kind of, and then, you can watch the MLS Red Zone or whatever it will be called. That's yet to be determined, but I feel like that is going to have a huge impact on bringing in new fans. Be like, oh, I didn't even know we had a soccer team in our city or things like that. But on the flip side, app, it's going to be a paid subscription to be able to watch these games. And some games will come with Apple TV Plus already, but to buy the full package, you'll have to purchase the MLS app that's located in Apple TV. So, do you remember when there's like MLS Live?
I remember there's MLS Live, and then there used to be this thing. It might still exist. It was like NFL Sunday Ticket or NBA League Pass on DirecTV, where you could buy those types of things. And that's what this is.
Except but it's all Apple TV.
Apple TV.
Yeah. So, It's kind of something that's never been done before in the professional sports world. The one thing that's kind of concerned me is how much is Apple going to support MLS? Because MLS, as like a league, is the ones running this, and Apple's just paying them to have it on their platform. But how much is Apple going to support MLS? Because I feel like if it's just Apple paying them to have it on their platform and they're not supporting them in any other way, then the league's not going to grow as much. And it's obviously the diehard fans who are already fans of MLS are still going to they're going to migrate too. Yeah. But what about new fans? And especially since it's paid. So Apple,
I think that's one of the reasons why so many people have been like, okay, Fox and ESPN.
Yeah, for sure.
They have to be on these mainstream platforms. Because in order for new people to discover your game or your league or whatever, you have to have people see
what it is.
Like, people aren't going to just flip through Apple TV and find it. They're going to like flip through, okay, ESPN. Oh, well, this is looks cool.
Yeah.
And stuff like that.
Yeah, for sure. And like ESPN and Fox, I've seen commercials on stuff saying, hey, here's an MLS game. I'm sure that helps and stuff. But Apple, who doesn't have an Apple phone or a MacBook or an Apple Watch at this point in time? And they have apps. Like when you get an Apple phone, Apple TV comes automatically installed on there. So that's one way that's interesting. And I even noticed, and hopefully Apple continues to do this, on like the Apple News, I got a notification yesterday, I think, actually, that was like Austin FC and I forget who they were playing last night. It's a good game. And like, it came up on my phone. And like, if they can do that while they're supporting MLS, and I've seen they've already started to, then Apple support for MLS is going to help bring a whole new variety of fans. And currently MLS, it's a league that mostly younger people like you and myself are interested in. Like older people who are fans of NBA, the NBA and NFL and stuff like that. That should not be the target audience. It should be teenagers, people in their young 20s who are interested in soccer and who that then they will continue to kind of grow the league, you know.
I think we have already missed the boat of growing the league to like 60-year-olds.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with that. That's kind of long gone. And yeah, this new Apple TV, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it because I know myself, like, I can watch Real Salt Lake games for free every single game with like the KSL Sports app. And it's just simple, free, easy. But now that I'm gonna have to pay for that, I could see, definitely see, like, obviously myself, I'm probably gonna still get it because I'm a diehard MLS fan. But for other people who are more casual fans who are watch the games when they're on their TV or things like that, and now that they're not gonna be on local broadcasts, are they gonna also like how big of a group do you think is gonna migrate from the local broadcast over to the new TV, and how do you think this will lose fans or overall
I
grow
think
fans?
less, I think more casual sort of fans are probably not necessarily all going to migrate. And it has been made very clear that one, there are still other existing deals, or there's still deals to be made. So there still is going to probably be some games licensed out from Apple to like ESPN,
ESPN. Yep.
or Fox or somebody, so that then it could be on ABC or whatever.
Yeah.
I think the fact that they are, it seems, including it with all season tickets for
Yeah.
now, that's intriguing to me. That's promising. I think that they're willing to try and get people involved. I think I'm personally kind of glad that the MLS isn't like the first thing they're doing this with. Apple bought rights to, I think, two
MLB.
MLB games every week.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those, I've watched some of them. They're pretty cool. They look good.
Yeah. Yeah.
From just like a viewing standpoint, they're kind of great. And also now people kind of know that that's where MLB games are on Friday nights, or a couple of
Yeah,
them.
for sure.
So I'm glad like they're not like breaking new ground necessarily, and this is the first time Apple's dabbled in pro sports rights. With that
Yeah.
being said, this is really the first time Apple's dabbled in pro sports rights, because the MLB deal is what, two games a week when there's like 15 games a day. Whereas with this, it's all the games. Each and every game in the MLS season is going to be on Apple TV. And so I feel like just it's a very big jump. It's a big investment. And these next 10 years really are going to determine if soccer is going to keep on this trajectory of becoming a major sport in the US, or if it's, I mean, the FIFA president seems to think it's going to be the biggest sport in the world, like
Yeah, which that's the
in the
hope.
region, in 3 years
I
and
don't
4 years.
think,
It's not going to be bigger than the
No.
NFL. He must be on something. But I think there is room for growth. I think it is now kind of up to Apple. I think they can grow it to a level. I don't think they can do it alone. I think there still is deals to be made with ESPN or Fox or somebody. Personally, kind of
Univision.
hope it's ESPN, but that's my own thing. Kind of because I think I've made clear to you in the past that I don't necessarily like all of Fox's soccer coverage. Anyway,
Yeah, for
I
sure.
think Apple has their work cut out for them. I think it can be very beneficial.
Yeah, and I don't think I was listening to the Total Soccer Show podcast earlier this week, and something that they mentioned that kind of stood out to me is this first year or two, like there's 8 months till the season starts. There's no way Apple's going to be able to come bring in the top tier broadcasters, top tier crews for all that's soon to be 29 MLS teams with St. Louis coming in. That's not a realistic thing to have within the next 8 months. So this first year or two, to me, it's going to be a little rough. It's going to be a little patchy. It's not going to be smooth sailing. There's going to be especially broadcasting and the way that fans can watch it and like how appealing it is, I guess, a good way to say it. I don't feel like that it's going to be super, super appealing within this first year or two, but I feel like it's definitely possible within the next 10 years for this to be really successful.
So, I mean, you don't necessarily think that they're going to be able to build it all up by the time the season starts in like March.
Yeah, I don't think it's gonna be completely built up. I think they'll, well, obviously they're gonna have to show all the games. I think they'll show all the games, but I don't think it's gonna be any better than some of the bad local broadcasts that other teams deal with in this first year or so. I think maybe like the TV quality, it's not gonna be a bunch of pixels, but the bro as broadcast crews and like the red zone type thing, I think that there's gonna, I'm not saying it's gonna be bad. There's gonna be some definite patches though that I don't feel like are gonna be super successful at the beginning of this next season.
I think that's a valid question. Like, I feel like that's a valid thought. I also, yeah, I think they do have a lot of work to do. But honestly, ESPN soccer rights, like, I feel like they could steal some of the guys from ESPN because
Like
ESPN's
ESPN Plus.
portfolio is looking bleak because all of the UEFA stuff is now on Fox, because UEFA got the or Fox got the Euros rights, they got the UEFA Nations League rights, they've got what else? I mean, only rights that I see that only rights that ESPN has now is like Liga and Bundesliga, and that might be it.
Yeah,
So
for sure.
they don't really have a lot of rights to keep a lot of people for.
So I agree with that. We'll see how that goes.
I think it'll be interesting.
Yeah, it's definitely gonna be interesting. There's definitely a lot of pros and cons, but overall, I feel like it is gonna help the league if Apple helps MLS. And yeah, so
Okay, let's move on to the next one.
okay.
This past weekend, yesterday, because we're recording this on Sunday the 19th, so yesterday, Seattle and LAFC faced off against each other. This is a match that has periodically, really since LAFC came into the league, been very much like a high quality MLS regular season match. And then I read after the match, it was a 1-1 draw, sadly. I read after the match a journalist, Grant Wall, who has written about soccer in the US for a hot minute. In one of his three thoughts that he does after major games was the MLS needs more games like this. The MLS is kind of lacking on marquee mid-season games. I think we see, I mean, the NFL has them every week. I think we see that the NBA has them somewhat. MLB kind of works them in there, but I think the MLS is lacking because of the playoffs. The MLS has been lacking on games that really seemingly matter in the regular season, especially because there are so many. I think the playoffs are should still be a part of the MLS, but what can the MLS do because there are so many teams? You know, there's going to be what 30, 29 next year. What can the MLS do to have more high quality kind of marquee games like this? They've tried, Fox and ESPN have tried for years to make Soccer Sunday a thing. It's not really sticking. Ratings are probably going down. Viewership's not really exploding like one would hope. What can the MLS do to kind of grow interest in just random games regular season?
Advertising, I feel like, is a huge part of it. And I feel like, yeah, there's the schedules come out before the season. You know, you can't just like, you could schedule Seattle and LAFC for this random midweek summer game. And it, you could think, oh yeah, that's gonna be a good game, but you don't know until the season starts what's gonna be a good game and what's not. So I don't know how much control that the MLS has, or but on something else I feel like is having a primetime game or something like that that is advertised, emphasis is put on it, is the NFL has those Thursday night football, Sunday night football, Monday night football, sometimes Saturday games even. So emphasizing primetime games instead of advertising, hey, there's a whole slate of six MLS games that you could watch one of them. But if you like kind of advertise and like excite the fan and show that like kind of both sides, both teams, and like, you know, in the, you know what I'm talking about, in like these commercials that the NFL does, things like that.
The NFL has their whole like launch calendar launch day thing every May.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they schedule all the Sunday night football and Monday night football games and this and that and Thursday.
And people are excited for them
all the times, but they also have it built in to where they can move games around later in the year.
So you're right.
Then on, they can, NBC, who's a Sunday night football right holder, can move and pick whatever game they want to pick. And then say, this is the one we're going to broadcast. We're not going to broadcast the Cowboys and Eagles. Well, no, that gets good ratings. We're not going to broadcast the Ravens and Lions anymore because they're both bad this year. We're going to broadcast the Packers and Seahawks because they are both fighting for a playoff spot.
Yeah.
So they can move it around like that. And I think the MLS is always so scrambled. There's not really a set time.
Yeah, exactly. I agree.
Normally, ESPN, like big ESPN, has games.
5, 8, ESPN
has games on like Sunday afternoon or Saturday night. There's the random Saturday afternoon game yesterday in Seattle. And so I think there's the lack of consistency in TV scheduling, which then kind of causes there to be that lack of consistency in viewership numbers. And then there is not the growth necessarily in the game, and there's not that kind of marquee time like there normally is.
I feel like that's also I feel like that's kind of what's hurt the MLB and NBA as well, and that's kind of what's propelled the NFL, which it's easier to do that in the NFL because there's not nearly as many games played, with only 17 games in the season. But for MLS, that plays from February or early March all the way into
November,
December, depending on the year. There's the, you could also have something like a Christmas game or, you know, like games on holidays, like something they could do. 4th of July, right? Whatever day the 4th of July is, broadcast, emphasize MLS games here. Watch it before fireworks. You know what I mean? That sounds kind of weird, but those types of things help, because there's been times where I've seen commercials for NFL games like, next week, this is Thursday night football. I'm like, oh, I want to be home. I want to watch that. You know what I mean? So, and I don't know what the best thing to do is with so many different games, because all of these games have to be played, unless you create like a pro rel system somehow on MLS, which I think is definitely possible in the future. But yeah, that's a question for a different day.
I think so. Okay, really quickly, we're kind of running out of time, but let's do a little bit of rapid fire questions. Over the past week, on Thursday, the, what was it, 16 different venues across the continent that would be hosting the 2026 World Cup, they expanded to 48 team 2026 World Cup, were announced. I believe 13, 12, 11, something like that, were in the U.S. All of them NFL stadiums, most of them with artificial turf. We've seen a tremendous argument within the MLS about just like, we should get rid of turf altogether. We saw it take out Miles Robinson in Atlanta, and him just absolutely blow his Achilles out a couple months ago, Brad Guzan. Which then has big problems for the USMNT. Brad Guzan, same turf, same spot. You know, we saw it take out Joel Palo in the CCL final in Seattle. Yeah. It will be, all the turf will be replaced with grass for the World Cup.
Okay.
Is turf something in MLS that should not exist, or is it okay because they are multi-purpose stadiums in some of the cases, and it's kind of tough to grow grass in New England in February?
I think there should be grass no matter what. Preventing injuries should be the main focus. And there's proof to show that injuries happen more likely on turf. I personally have played on turf many times in my life. It's one of the worst experiences ever. The ball rolls too fast. Obviously, you're playing in high school stadium, so it's not as good of turf for things like that. But I don't like it. I think it's something that should be changed. And I think there's probably ways to do it. And I think it should be something that happens in the near future.
I think so. I don't think there's places like I kind of agree that I think it should be non-existent, but also I understand the reasoning for it. Does
Yeah.
Portland have turf or do they have grass?
I think they might have
I
turf,
think they're,
actually.
and they're soccer specific. So see,
Yeah, exactly.
like if you're a soccer specific stadium, come on, Portland, get with the program. If you're a soccer specific stadium, you should get grass. I
Yeah.
understand in some cases where they're sharing, like Atlanta and whatever, but Portland should have grass. That's my departing.
All right, guys. Well, I think that's going to do it for today's first ever episode of the podcast. I hope you all enjoyed listening. And yeah, we plan to upload every single week, every single Monday. So we hope to see you guys there next week. And thanks once again for tuning in.